Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You guys got a lot of really good players, obviously, but maybe not viewed. What's that?
I said thank you.
You're welcome. Maybe not viewed though as the superstars like maybe the 49ers have or other
people. All right.
Yeah. Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. I'm Connor Rogers alongside Matthew Berry, Jay Croucher, and of course, Lawrence Jackson. At the top, you heard Jared Goff. A little bit of a fake out. Thank you. Oh, never mind. It's good times in Detroit and Jared Goff these days.
He's very funny, Jared.
He's showing his humor.
In Detroit, yeah. He's much more of a reserved figure at the Rams, I thought. But now he's really letting his humor shine. Good for you, Jared.
Good for you, Jared, indeed, by the way. It's all Jared. I believe he's engaged to be married. I don't think he's actually married. I think he is. But his fiance is an SA swimsuit model.
Sure.
Very popular one as well. Like, everything is coming up
Jared
Goff.
He's a rich quarterback, so it's, good for... God bless.
It's like the movie quarterback life.
Very much so.
He's been here before, too. So, you know, he done brought up these lines. He's been here. He's just chilling now.
Yeah, he is. Are you aware that the letters on your hat are upside down, Lawrence?
No, I'm not. I might have to check that right now. Let me look in the screen. Oh man, they are. Man,
just saying.
There's a.
You couldn't have bought.
It says reversed on the side, just to let you know.
Is that the brand?
That
or
is.
Or is that just like you went to some outlet and like this was like some sort of
shout out to
manufacturing estate.
Yeah, exactly.
Shout out to the brand Reverse, because you know that's the. You know, that's the key that lets you know the words will be reversed on this hat. So,
but they're not reversed. They're upside down.
They're reversed and upside down.
Well, so why is the brand not upside down?
Can you read it?
No.
What's it say?
I'm going to assume it says Atlanta, because God forbid you wear anything that doesn't say Atlanta on it some way, somewhere.
Touché.
I'm just saying.
You can tell we have a lot of time today. There's only two games this weekend.
We've got a lot of time today.
We have
I'm not,
plenty
by
of time.
The way, speaking of looks, how do we feel about my... I feel it's a little grandpa-y, what I'm wearing today.
You are a little grandpa-y, so that's fine.
It's a little, well, fair. It's very fair.
It's a golf clubhouse.
It's like, a little, right?
Yeah.
Little Peyton Manning quarter zip kind of action
going
on.
Yeah, the Manning cast. Yes. That's what you would wear if you were on the Manning cast.
Maybe.
Everyone has their roles. You the grandpa-y, I'm the quarterback-y with the upside down Atlanta hat. Then, you know, we got Jay and Connor. They're the pretty boys of the group, you know. So
maybe that can be your next phase, leaning into the quarter zips.
Leaning into the quarter zips. Yeah. Maybe I will. I'll go into a Peyton phase.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a little Australian, is what he is. He's not... You know, this one's the good looking guy. Jay is just,
I didn't say Jay was good looking. I said he a pretty boy. It's a difference.
Is it?
It's a difference.
I wouldn't know. I'm nowhere near any of the categories.
Me either. That's why I just try to dress cool. You know what I'm saying?
Factually correct. Fair enough.
All right. We got a full preview for both conference championships, our best bets, daily fantasy, all that coming up. Before we get to the actual games, a lot of coaching news in our Roto World player news for all your player news. Go to NBCSports.com, and it's official, guys. Jim Harbaugh is leaving Michigan after winning the national title to accept the head coaching job with the Los Angeles Chargers. Lawrence, not really a big surprise here. It feels like this one's been building for a while, but a lot of excitement around this hire.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting, man. It'll be good to see Jim Harbaugh back in the NFL. He's going to bring a lot to this Chargers organization, a lot to Justin Herbert, just by the culture that he brings. He doesn't fail. Like, he comes to places that has failed, and he completely flips the script. The 49ers in 2011 were coming off 8 straight seasons of no playoffs. They immediately go 13-3 into 3 straight NFC championship games. Does the same thing at Michigan, immediately wins 10 games. Goes to Stanford, gives them a 12-win season. They're one of only 2 double-digit win seasons in 70 years. Stanford football doesn't do that. So I think he's going to bring a lot of – he's going to bring toughness to this, and he knows what to do with his talent. Him and his brother, they both know talent. They're going to get the best out of their talent. Don't be surprised if you see guys that, you know, maybe weren't making plays for the Chargers. All of a sudden, their mainstays in the offense now.
And here's Harbaugh's statement on taking this job. The only job you start at the top is digging a hole. So we know we've got to earn our way. Be better today than yesterday. Be better tomorrow than today. My priorities are faith, family, and football. And we're going to attack each with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. This organization is putting in the work, investing capital, building infrastructure, and doing everything within its power to win. Great effort equals great results, and we're just getting started. I mean, that's how you come out with the fan base just adoring.
Is that the? Do you think that's the issue with the show? Because if great effort, equals great results. Is it just my lack of effort? You know, mediocre effort results in mediocre results?
You don't hear as much chat about faith and family in the NHL. It's really like a football phenomenon, isn't it? Faith and family.
How do you attack faith? He says he's going to attack faith, family, and football with equal parts of enthusiasm.
Go to church and just start screaming.
That's right.
Yes.
Exactly. No, I love you, God. I love you, God.
Push the priest off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right, exactly. We need more than 10 commandments. I want 20. Give me 30 commandments. Here we go.
I think he just threw
it was
that
a little of who asked for this? Yeah. It was like very cool, but it was like, whoa.
Human beings don't talk like that.
I'm excited to get started with a great organization.
I'm going
to
tell you a couple things here. This is awesome. Listen, I will tell you that the thing about Harbaugh is, there's a couple things about Harbaugh. He is obviously like, he's wired to 11, right? The old Spinal Tap, you know, it goes to 11, right? He is 110% every single minute. Like, he's just wired that way. And so he is crazy intense. Some people can take it, some people can't. But I'll give you a couple things. First off, as you can just see here, he's a quote machine. His press conferences are going to be awesome. He will be a content machine for those of us who do what we do, which is talk about the NFL, analyze, and look into the NFL. He ain't boring. He ain't boring at all.
No.
The other thing Jim Harbaugh does, and I understand there are critics out there, not everyone's a fan, but I will tell you this, point blank, that guy wins. That guy wins. Everywhere he goes, he wins. Sometimes he wears out his welcome, but that guy wins every single place that he goes. The Chargers are going to win. I'm amazed that they were able to get a deal done because, again, like, I assume that Michigan was offering $1 zillion. And, again, the Spanos family has not particularly invested in their head coaching and in the team, really. But maybe, obviously, an opportunity for Harbaugh to come to the NFL with a franchise quarterback. And there aren't that many jobs out there where you can go to a team that has a guy like Justin Herbert. You know, gives him a chance to win. There's talent on the defensive side as well here. So I think if you are a Charger fan, it's very, very exciting. You know, again, we'll sit here and tell you that everyone in Ann Arbor and L.A. drinks free. Fans of, for different reasons, of course. Obviously, the Wolverines losing their head coach that led them to a national title. But I think this is exciting. And the last thing I'll say about Harbaugh, and then everyone else weigh in here, the last thing I'll say is that I'm excited about him going back to L.A. He used to be a coach of the Chargers as well,
yes.
When they were in San Diego, of course. But just him being back in L.A., he's a star, right? You know, and could we suddenly see him resume what was a very promising acting career? Take a look at this. I don't know if people are aware of this, but there's Jim Harbaugh on Saved by the Bell. You know, a star Screech. Turn. That's him and Screech at the max with some extra, probably. But the fact of the matter is, it was a star turn. He's been so successful as NFL quarterback and head coach that he hasn't gotten a chance to get back to his acting career. But now that he's in L.A., the land of stars, maybe once again we'll see.
Maybe a little reboot.
Maybe we'll see him on the big screen once again. By the way, Saved by the Bell, a proud NBC show.
There you go. Maybe after the quarter zip phase for you, Matthew, you can go into the tucked in T-shirt belt showing Bradley phase that Jim was really showing there.
Oh, yeah. Khaki stores in L.A., stock just went up.
Yes, indeed. Good news is that Michael Crabtree's out of the NFL, so Jim Harbaugh can't throw three fade routes to him with the Super Bowl on the line again.
Yep.
But I think the exciting thing is just for Justin Herbert, who hasn't had a kind of I think this kind of situation before. This team won 5 games this year. Like Justin Herbert might be the 5th best quarterback in the NFL, and I think there's only upside. And Jim Harbaugh is probably your coach of the year favorite going into next year, just given that the basement was so low this year, and they could easily go from 5 wins to 12.
And by the way, then you also sort of think about this division, right? I get it. We're about to ready to talk about the Chiefs and the AFC Championship, but the Chiefs don't seem like the Chiefs, and there are rumors out there that Travis Kelce might retire after this season, that Andy Reid might retire after this season. Either way, the Chiefs looking not as dominant, as long as they have Mahomes, are always going to be in the mix, but like they're not looking as dominant as they have in years past. Obviously, the Broncos and Raiders are still somewhat rebuilding. So this division, I feel like, is very winnable for the Chargers next year if things go right. And to your point, again, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, we'll see what happens with Eckler, but there's pieces on offense, and then on the defensive side of the ball as well, they also have pieces.
And the 5th overall pick in the draft.
And the 5th overall pick and Justin Herbert.
Yeah. It's so funny. It feels like the Chiefs suck this year. They still might win the Super Bowl.
I know! But it's true, right?
Bad year for the Chiefs.
Yeah, Mahomes and Reid and Spagnuolo, they're just like
the Chiefs said, here's your chance. Nobody wanted to take
no.
it.
And
no, so, they
so
tried.
Here we are.
They tried, but anyway. There you go. There you go. There you go. That's what you get on the happy hours. You get a Screech reference. You don't always get that. You know what I'm saying? The other thing is that I think that because of the way Michigan played football, I feel like Harbaugh has this reputation as a defensive-minded coach because the Wolverines' defense this year was so dominant and has been while he's been there. But, I mean, this is a former NFL quarterback. I mean, this is somebody who will throw the ball, and I do think – you have to be excited about the prospects for Justin Herbert in what will be a Jim Harbaugh offense. I mean, they'll get a coordinator, the whole thing, they're going to be aggressive.
What you say, him being a former NFL quarterback, the good thing about Harbaugh is he's a former NFL quarterback from the 90s, but he's evolved with the game.
Sure.
You know, the Niners were doing well, and he took Alex Smith out of the game and said, I'm going to put Kaepernick in here. They go to the Super Bowl. They win with Michigan throwing the ball 21 times per game. Like, he's going to do whatever best suits his players' talents and bring that to the mass.
Which is the mark of a great coach, right? I mean, too many times we've seen coaches of the NFL say, this is what we're doing. Yep. We run a 3-4 defense. Your personnel doesn't speak to a 3-4 defense at all. Doesn't matter. They're going to learn it, you know, and then they suck for 2 years and he gets fired. Like, a good coach says, all right, what do we have here?
Yes.
What do we have here? And I'm going to build my offense. I'm going to build my team identity around what my guys do well. And we're not going to try to do the stuff we don't do well. Yep. We're just going to execute on the stuff we do well. And so
I think we'll see Herbert be his best from an efficiency standpoint.
I agree with
his
you.
His quarterbacks are always do well with that.
A lot of excitement around this hire. One last thing on it. Owner Dean Spanos did have a quiz. He's even starting to speak a little bit like Harbaugh. Jim has led hundreds of men to success everywhere he's been as their coach. And today, Jim Harbaugh returns to the Chargers, this time as our coach. Who has it better than us?
Yeah.
The Harbaugh family line, which originated
big,
from their father.
Yeah, big Harbaugh family line. Be interesting, by the way. I'm just putting my request right now. Apparently, at some point in the upcoming year, Chargers will play the Ravens. It'll be the Battle of the Harbaughs. That's on the schedule
in terms of Los Angeles.
I believe the game will be in Los Angeles. But either way, that'd be a nice game for Sunday Night Football on NBC and Peacock. Just put my request in there, NFL. Just something to think about, schedule makers. Yeah. I'd like that game.
Talking about Harbaugh like he's Genghis Khan. Like he's just invading worlds and stuff. It's unbelievable.
It was a very general kind of quote.
But in all seriousness, like, again, this is a guy that led the 49ers to the Super Bowl. This is a guy that he won at Stanford. He won at Michigan. He won at San Francisco. Like, every single play. Again, like, the issue with Harbaugh, from what I understand, talking with people around the league and The issue with Harbaugh is that, again, he is so intense, and it's so much like my way.
Burns We're doing
it
my.
No. It burns other people out. It sometimes rubs other people the wrong way. That it is Harbaugh's way or the highway kind of thing. And so for other people in power, you know, as we talked about, you know, one of the rumors that came up about will Belichick go to Dallas if McCarthy gets fired? It's like, well, no, like Jerry's got a big ego. Bill's got a big ego, and like those two guys want to be the man in charge. And so sometimes when Harbaugh has found himself in situations where other people in power don't, you know, it becomes tiresome or whatever, he wears out his welcome, I guess, yep, is probably a way to say. Obviously, that didn't happen in Michigan. They wanted to keep him, but the fact of the matter is he wants to get back to the NFL. And when you got a quarterback under 27 years old that can throw it 80 yards of, you know, like
under contract,
like it's, you get to live in L.A.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a lot that's
a good gig.
It's a pretty good gig. It's a pretty good gig, assuming the money works out, and I'm obviously it must have.
Yeah. He's like the millionaire's version of Scott Skiles, where Scott Skiles will give you two really good years, and then by third year, it's just over. He's just done. Like maybe Tom Thibodeau. Thibodeau's loosened up in New York, so maybe
he has, but that's how it used to be, yeah, for sure, that reputation. Yeah. Peter LaViolette is the NHL version of that.
I was worried we were going to go more than 10 minutes without an NBA reference. Yeah. From
he's got us covered.
From Jay Croucher. But yes,
shout out to Scott
former Orlando Magic point guard, Scott Skiles.
He watches the show.
Yeah,
I remember I used to use Scott Skiles on NBA Jam back in the day.
I will say this. He was a little bit of a badass as a player. Like, yeah, you know, he was a shorter guy, but
he's a rabble rouser.
Yeah, he didn't mind mixing it up. So there is some similarities, yeah, to him and Harbaugh.
Another hire here.
Yeah.
The Titans officially announced the hire of Coach Brian Callahan, the Bengals offensive coordinator. He's bounced around as a quarterback's coach a couple different places, including Detroit before that. And they make a promotion here. Their GM, Rand Carthon, is now executive VP/GM. So he gets promoted. Chad Brinker gets promoted to president of football operations. So Mike Vrabel out the door. A lot of change in Tennessee, Jay, as they go the offensive route. For a guy like Brad Callahan, he didn't call the plays with the Bengals, but is highly regarded around the league as an offensive mind.
He seems like kind of the art house version of Ben Johnson, kind of like the memento to Ben Johnson's Interstellar, if you will, where he's not a loud name, he's not a big name, but it's just got rave reviews all across the NFL. This is an offense that, frankly, has been stale for a while now, and maybe having a creative mind can get the best out of Will Levis, who I think we all think has immense potential, though he is very raw.
He is.
I think also a big, you know, layer for this hiring to me that we have to keep an eye on is if his dad comes with him, the offensive line run game coordinator for the Browns, who is basically an NFL legend for his position at this point, Bill Callahan.
Bill Callahan is widely considered like the best offensive line coach
by
in football by a mile. He's, you know, he's bounced around the league, but again, he's a legend. He's been there through his father, and certainly, yes, like, you know, I don't know what the Titans' plans are. It seems like they're going to move on from Derrick Henry, but yes, if Bill Callahan comes with his son to Tennessee, help fix that offensive line, which was a huge issue for Titans this past year as well, that would be really interesting. He was an offensive assistant. Brian Callahan was an offensive assistant for the Broncos when Denver won the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning as the quarterback. Manning had this quote, quote, "Not only did I benefit from his coaching and all the help he gave me as a quarterback for the Broncos, but also just thoroughly enjoyed being around him and coming to work every day. I think it's a great hire for the Tennessee Titans. I know we'll give the Titans everything he has." I would agree. I'm sure he will give the Titans everything he has, and I'm sure Peyton enjoyed being around him. I mean, but all due respect, like, the Broncos Peyton Manning, you know, year was Peyton Manning. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know there's many people in the NFL that could be like, you know, Peyton, actually what you should have done there is an out route.
Right.
You know, like, I don't know if you missed the guy in the flat.
Especially
like,
that season two, because he was literally just winning it at the line of scrimmage.
Right.
The arm hat went down a little bit, so that was all here.
It was
like, 100% that's how he won.
All
won the Super Bowl there. They had the defense.
Sure.
So, yeah, I get what
he was
saying,
just like,
right,
hey, their linebacker's not looking at you, Julius. We're doing another seam route. There you go. Julius Thomas had, you know, a billion touchdowns that year. It was literally like, hope springs eternal for Brian Callahan. Obviously, again, comes from NFL royalty, has been in winning success, you know, whether it was, you know, starting his career, and obviously as a young man with the Broncos, being with the Bengals for a number of years under Zach Taylor, comes from the Sean McVay tree. So, you know, we will certainly see what happens here with Brian Callahan, and whether he calls plays or he brings in somebody else to do that. Because to your point, he did not with the Bengals, but certainly around. The other thing that that's here is that he saw, I mean, I think people forget how bad the Bengals were when Zach Taylor took over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and so helps when you draft Joe Burrow.
Yeah, well, they were the number one pick to draft Joe Burrow.
Exactly.
And then they won four games, I think, Burrow's first year before he tore his ACL. And then they went from that and no one expected. I think the Bengals, the year that they really ascended, the first year, they were like 25-1 to win the division. And they just came out of nowhere.
Correct.
Burrow wins comeback player of the year, and then the rest is history.
As we were recording, we got some live breaking news here, guys. The Panthers have hired a head coach, and that is Bucks offensive coordinator Dave Canales, who was his first
staying in the division.
Bit of a surprise. It was his first year as offensive coordinator for Tampa, but we talk about this offense every week. Baker had a resurgent year. It was really an all-around surprise year for Tampa Bay. And Barry, this feels like a good move for Bryce Young, at least, for a team that needs to get that offense right in so many different ways.
Well, I mean, you know, it's the easy comparison, but it's the one everyone's going to make, so I'll go ahead and just make it, right? Baker Mayfield was a guy that was a number one overall pick that had struggled, that had shown flashes, and you knew the talent was in there, you know, but had been inconsistent, to be kind, throughout his NFL career. He comes to Tampa Bay, and under Dave Canales, because, I mean, Todd Bowles was a defensive guy, so,
yes.
I mean, the entire Buccaneers offense was Canales. And under Dave Canales, Baker Mayfield has what I would argue to be his best NFL season.
This year.
Statistically and just from the field and just from the eye test, his best NFL season. So now you've got Bryce Young, who's a young player with a lot of talent. We know there's talent in there. You know, Bryce Young didn't forget how to play football between his senior year at Alabama and his first year in the NFL. Doesn't have a lot of weapons around him, and I think, you know, there was a coaching change in the middle of the season. There was a lot that happened that sort of messed with Bryce Young's head last year, and so now you've got somebody in Dave Canales who showed, like, I can take a talented but inconsistent quarterback and get his head right and get him playing football at an elite level. And so that's the hope, obviously, here that happens with Bryce Young. Now, if he has Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, that's going to help a lot.
Right.
You know what I mean? Instead of, like, you know,
right.
the ghost of Adam Thielen and DJ Shark. But ultimately, you have to figure the Panthers will address other positions as well.
I think the other thing with Canales, and I'm not sure everyone knows this because I think people only realized who Dave Canales was like 5 weeks ago just because he wasn't in the spotlight at all in the first half of the season when the Bucs were floundering. In last season, he was Geno Smith's coach. He was the quarterback coach for the Seahawks. And so he helps fix Geno Smith.
Yes.
He helps fix Baker Mayfield. And so I think it makes a lot of sense that is the type. Whether he's good or not, we'll see. But to go for that type of archetype to try and, quote unquote, fix Bryce Young.
And the best thing about it is when these head coaches take these jobs and they know who the quarterback's going to be. So you have to believe in like, there's a reason Jim Harbaugh's coaching the Chargers and not the Falcons who interviewed him. There's a big reason he did that. The thing is,
though, is that reason Desmond Ridder? Because he's not good?
Certainly not as good as Justin Herbert.
I almost got Lawrence.
He kind of stopped for a second.
Okay, I almost got him.
They powered through it.
You know, they'll have to do something with the roster. Like you said, he was working with Geno Smith last year, but there's a DK Metcalf and a Tyler Lockett over there, so they'll have to do something with the roster. Maybe Jonathan Mingo takes a step, but they're going to have to add a lot on that side of the ball at every position. So, you know, good luck and congrats to this man.
But your point, but Lawrence, jokes aside, your point there I think is very well taken, which is that I remember when they were interviewing, when the Vikings were interviewing for head coaches a couple of years ago, and there was conversations around whether Kirk Cousins would return to the Vikings. They ultimately ended up franchise tagging him. But what I heard from sources was that the interviews were basically like the people that came in and said, all right, we got to start over. They were looking for somebody that came in and said, I can win with Kirk Cousins.
Bingo.
I can win with Kirk Cousins.
Right.
And that was Kevin O'Connell's, one of his pitches, and that's obviously what ended up happening. And so far he's proven correct, right? He's been able to win with Kirk Cousins. It's like I suspect, to your point, especially given the fact that David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, was, you know, widely rumored to be the one to basically saying, I want Bryce Young, and sort of, you know, he's kind of pushed all his, you know, chips into the middle on Bryce Young, especially given the success of C.J. Stroud, who went just after Bryce Young, that anyone that came in here had to basically be like, give me the job and I'll make Bryce Young work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know about this.
You know,
no,
I don't know. We may have to start
right.
over. We should see if we can trade for Justin Fields. None of that stuff. No. So I agree with you, and I think that's a great point that's probably going to get overlooked here, but right. He fixed Geno, he fixed Baker Mayfield, and now he gets Bryce Young. And yes, those guys were more veteran and they had better weapons around them than Bryce Young does. But the positives are Bryce Young is young. And, you know, you've got some time to work here under a rookie deal.
Connor, how would you evaluate Bryce Young now? Because I think, look, a lot of rookies have bad years in their first year. But with Bryce Young, I think the concern was that there were just so few flashes outside of maybe the Green Bay game where it seemed to click for him.
I think you need to build his confidence back up first. I mean, he's not a big quarterback. He's not going to be a huge runner at the next level. He's not going to be Superman like we see. A lot of the guys left in the playoffs right now, not Goff, but Lamar, Mahomes, and Allen, they could all play like Superman. You're not looking from that, even though he's a former number one pick. You need an offense that's based kind of what Mike McDaniel did in Miami, where it's timing. You're getting the ball out. You're creating space and creating yards after catch opportunities. They just don't have the weapons at wide receiver to do that right now, and they don't have a first-round pick.
Yeah.
So that's the battle this team is going to deal with. They're either going to have to get creative in free agency or a trade to get that wide receiver, and they're going to have to make the most of their picks in the draft because you need to help out Bryce Young. He simply didn't stand a chance this year.
You know who would have been good? Who would be great in Carolina is DJ Moore.
That would be a perfect fit.
DJ Moore would be a shame if there was a way that they could, because DJ Moore is so good after the catch and everything like that, and good in time.
Go a long way.
Feels like that's like that. If I think about one guy in the NFL that I think would be good in Carolina, I feel like DJ Moore just sort of comes to mind there. The other thing, last thing on Bryce Young here, as I just want to say, is just you think about this poor kid. Right, like comes into the pre-draft process. Everyone like about your size, you know, your size and everything like that. But the other thing is that Bryce Young was at Alabama, where everyone he had was basically an NFL level prospect,
right.
And like they were just better than everyone at every position. And so you go out there from a feeling of confidence, from a feeling of being a favorite, of you know being dominant, and now you have to go to an NFL team that is the complete opposite that of every single way, where they are. Talent deficient at almost every position against a team that, you know, in every team that they play, right? I mean, they're basically, they didn't have a better line than anyone they would play. They wouldn't have better receivers. They wouldn't have a better, you know, like it's just feel for Bryce Young is all I'll say. I feel for Bryce Young.
Well, when your coach get fired, it ain't good.
No.
So there you go.
No, this is factually correct. This is factually correct.
Over in Philadelphia, some change with that offensive staff. The Eagles officially part ways with offensive coordinator Brian Johnson.
So after that's why Penn State Blake was smiling this morning.
He was in a very good mood.
Very
this
good mood.
We got to hear.
He skipped. I saw him skipping.
He's giggling.
He's got an ear-to-ear grin on his face right now. We got to hear from Nick Sirianni on making the change at offensive coordinator.
To me, we got a little bit stale on offense by the end, you know, at the end of the year. And these ideas and this new person coming in is meant to, you know, take away the staleness and add the value of what they're adding to the offense.
Nick, just for clarification, though, it'll be your scheme and you'll have final authority on what is run.
Yeah, you know, it's our scheme. It will be our scheme of what we're doing. And so, again, I don't know exactly what that will look like yet, right? We're bringing in a guy to bring in new ideas, a guy who has a vision, a guy who's going to call the plays, a guy who's going to be able to coach a quarterback in the same sense there.
That was Nick Sirianni, of course, the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. He kind of walked himself into a trap there. Did you notice that?
I did. Really good question there.
Great follow-up.
Nick Sirianni, of course, prior to coming to Philadelphia, the offensive coordinator of the Colts, he's an offensive-minded coach. And so he's just like, you know, our offense got stale there, you know, towards the end of the year. And they're like, well, but it's still going to be your scheme, right? You'll still have final say, right? He's just like, well, it's going to be our scheme.
Oh, yeah,
our scheme.
He like, rolled the bus over somebody that doesn't even work there yet.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So he's just throwing it out
building it in. Yeah,
if it works really well, I made a great hire in my scheme. If it doesn't work again, it got stale.
I mean, just, yeah, exactly. By the way, this is the kind of strategy that I employ here at the happy hour,
right.
If you've ever noticed there, just in terms of, you know, if something goes wrong, I throw Penn State Blake or producer Steven under the bus, you know, occasionally Alexa, you know, whatever. Right, exactly.
There's no bounds.
No bounds.
He lets you know, too.
It's our show. It's our.
He says somebody to call the plays. Yeah. That's what he said.
And to work with a quarterback.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem like a very appealing job, even though there's a lot of talent there, because, I mean, there was documented examples of when Brian Johnson would call a play and Nick Sirianni would be like, nah. So, but you fired anyway.
Yeah, right.
What's the win?
It was interesting, too, because Brian Johnson had known Jalen Hurts since he was 5 years old, and so he's been with him a while. The Eagles did interview the Texans quarterback coach, though, Gerard Johnson, who worked with Nick Sirianni. So look out for that name.
I love the Brian Johnson, Jalen Hurts. They've known each other since Hurts was five. It's like, one, I can't even remember when I was five. Two, were they close at all? Or were they just like, oh, I just met you for one time when you were five and then checked in when you were 12?
He played high school for Hurts' father.
Right.
That's who he
it's a loose, connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. It clearly didn't work.
It didn't work.
It only went so far.
It didn't work. This one, although on the other side of the ball, I will say this, and this is annoying to me because obviously I'm a Commanders fan, so I root against the Eagles. I don't hate them the way I hate the Cowboys. But
annoying to me, too, as a Giants fan.
Right, but this is right. You're a lifelong Giants fan. they also obviously Sean Desai has left the team, and they have hired Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio, who was the defensive coordinator of the Miami Dolphins, that falls apart, which is a weird one to me, Connor.
That's a lot to unpack there.
You know, I mean, I get it. The defense faltered in the second, last couple of games here, but they were so beat up.
They had no players.
They had no players. Like, you can't play. It's Vic Fangio's fault that Bradley Chubb, broke his leg or whatever.
Phillips.
Yeah.
Ramsey was gone the first couple of months
Xavier
of the season.
Xavier Howard was gone.
This
was pretty clearly he wanted out.
Something with relationships with the players and stuff like that. But for the Eagles, you couldn't, defensively, you can't go nowhere else but up. When Vic Fangio was a defensive consultant for them in the 2022 season, they had the best pass rush in the league. That was non-existent this season, so it can only be a plus for the Eagles.
I also think that it was, I mean, look, they got destroyed by the Chiefs in the playoffs, but also impressed with what Fangio did in that game. Just like, all right, we're just going cover zero. Just like, we're screwed anyway.
Yeah,
let's create some variance. Maybe some chaos will happen. I thought that was a smart approach. It just didn't work as much.
I mean, honestly, they should have been blown out much more than they, given how injured they were and the fact that it's this warm weather sit team going to the frozen tundra of Kansas City. Like, they should have been, they held them to a lot of field goals in that game. Yep. Like, I actually thought the defense played pretty well there. So super weird that Fangio left Miami. I think he's being blamed for stuff that isn't his fault. But as a Commanders fan, I'm super annoyed because I think Vic Fangio is one of the best defensive coordinators in the game.
Yep.
And so I'm annoyed that he's going to Philadelphia. To your point, Lawrence, nowhere to go but up for this Eagles defense. They need to get some players. Vic Fangio can only do so much. And they need to get healthier. But I think this is a great hire for Philadelphia on the defensive side of the ball.
And as good of a regular season that Miami had, if you're Mike McDaniel, you can only shake up that side of the ball so many times before the finger starts to come all the way around to the hires you made and the dysfunction. I know Miami had a good year, but it felt like it came to a shocking, disappointing end. And this is a weird breakup.
McDaniel's definitely on the hot seat next year.
Right,
between, I understand, Skylar Thompson against Buffalo last year, but they couldn't get the plays in against Buffalo in the playoffs, and then just to completely melt down in those final three games. That was 56-19 to the Ravens, and again, it was for the one seed.
I mean, listen, they with five games to go, they were three games up in the AFC East to win the division, and they missed the playoffs.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, three games up with five to go. And they missed the playoffs.
Well, they lost the division.
Sorry,
which ultimately cost them any chance in the playoffs.
Chance to playoffs.
Yeah, because them playing in Miami and them playing in Kansas City would have been completely different for that team. And I'll say this, though, Jay. I'll say if they somehow miss the playoffs next year, the Dolphins, then we talking about something.
Exactly.
But my point is they had a chance to host at least one playoff game, and it said they had to go on the road to Kansas City. In the freezing cold as well. And, obviously, they didn't, except for Dallas, they didn't beat any winning team with a winning record, right? I mean, or any team that was considered, quote-unquote, good.
Yep.
All the sort of big games, they kind of got blown out there. And after the playoff loss, were the Cowboys even an elite team?
Yeah. And the Cowboys also got blown out by every team that was good.
Right.
At least blown out by the Niners and the Bills, and the Dolphins had to squeak across the line.
Guys, it's four good teams. They're playing on Sunday.
That's right. And before we get to those two games, in just one moment, one last piece of coaching news since we've been off the air. The Raiders finalized their deal to hire Antonio Pierce, formerly the interim head coach. He becomes the official head coach. Good move by the Raiders. Everybody loves to see it, especially Max Crosby, apparently. Raiders also hired former Chargers GM Tom Telesco to be their new GM. That's the interesting one.
I love the tweeting about how Tom Telesco had accumulated so much talent in Los Angeles with the Chargers. This team underperformed constantly
for decades.
Over his reign.
Yeah,
for decades. They do have some talent.
Yep.
Just Underperformed.
So I think you had to, like, I think it was kind of a no-brainer to bring back Pierce. One, because Max Crosby, your best player, was going to demand the trade. Two, just that defense turned into a top two unit the second half of the season when it was routinely picked to be a bottom 10 defense going into the year. And to get that out of that unit was incredibly impressive.
Really impressive. And we'll see what happens with the offense. But clearly, it seems like if Josh Jacobs comes back or if he does not, Zamir White, whoever is like Antonio Pierce wants a run-heavy approach, you know, wants to run the ball and play good defense. And so the starting running back of the Raiders will be very interesting and fantasy relevant next year.
All right, guys, we are halfway into our show, and we can finally get into the conference championship games.
Yes.
That's right. Starting with the Chiefs going to Baltimore to take on the Ravens in what could truly be maybe the best game of the entire playoffs. I know Kansas City Buffalo was phenomenal, but this one opened up at Ravens favored by 3. It's now sitting at 3.5 for the Ravens in favor of the Ravens. The total opened at 47. It's dropped all the way to 44.5. Jay, before we get to the players in this game, Matthew for Daily Fantasy, Jay, what do you think about that pretty significant drop on the points side of this?
So I think there's a few things going on here. Joe Tooney with the pec is unlikely to play. That hurts the offensive line. Baltimore have an extra day of rest, which helps a lot. Baltimore seem like the healthier team. Looks like they'll get Marlon Humphrey back, Mark Andrews, full participant in practice. That can only help too. And the thing with me is that I just can't get past how bad Kansas City's offense, or at least how uninspiring Kansas City's offense was, not just for a stretch, for the entire season. And my thought is not that they have just magically solved things in the playoffs. I think they played a Dolphins team that had no pass rushes left, and as we said, had to just go cover zero over and over again. And they played a Bills team that was just missing half its defense. And so I think that is what is triggering this line movement, the idea that Baltimore's defense is just going to be too much.
I'll be quick here. I won't be surprised if Baltimore wins this game by double digits. Kansas City will have to match that physicality that Baltimore has. Baltimore's defense is not injured. Kansas City blitzed Josh Allen 10 times. Josh Allen had a field day on the ground. They're going to have a much tougher time with Lamar Jackson in that aspect.
Yeah, very, very true. I mean, like on the show we did on Monday, I took the Ravens minus 3 as my pick. It's moving that way. I agree with you. The Ravens, I think, are the best team in the NFL right now, and they are until proven otherwise as well. As good as the Chiefs' defense has played all year long, the one sort of Achilles heel that they've had is their run defense. I mean, the Bills last week ran all over them with Josh Allen and James Cook as well. So the Ravens, who are arguably the best rushing team in the NFL between Lamar Jackson, you'll see some Justice Hill and Gus Edwards as well. I don't know. I think given how good the defense is and how well they run the ball, feels like this is a Ravens win for us on Sunday.
Anyone in DFS, Matthew, that you find intriguing by price in this game?
I mean, I think there are a lot of people, obviously. I don't mind paying up for Lamar Jackson at 7,700, 18 fantasy points in 5 of the past 6 games. Again, we think the rushing will be there as well. You see Zay Flowers, who scored in 4 of his past 6 games dating back to the regular season as well. Pacheco is kind of interesting here. He missed practice yesterday, but said he is absolutely playing. Pacheco, of course, just massive workload, 20 touches in 4 of the past 5 games, including the playoffs. He scored in 6 straight games, and the one vulnerability of the Ravens' defense is their rushing defense. It's easy. I don't think it's easy to do anything against Baltimore, but if there's one thing, it's easier to run against them than it is to throw against them because they're so strong in the back end, especially if, as you said, they get Humphrey back.
Yep. All right, our next game here, Lions, of course, traveling to play the 49ers. This one opened up as the Niners' 6.5-point favorites. It's moved to 7 points now, so things trending. 7.5 now, trending the Niners' way. The point total sits at 51 in this. Jay, looking at some of the fantasy plays, obviously this features the marquee name in Christian McCaffrey, but maybe some value after that, and whether it's a George Kittle or Brandon Ayuk as we keep an eye on Debo Samuel's status for this game.
Yeah, I would look at Brandon Ayuk in particular. This Detroit run defense has been excellent all season. The pass defense has been, frankly, horrific and has been very vulnerable to big plays. And we know that this Niners team can obviously get you down the field. And so I think that Brandon Ayuk could be the guy I'd be targeting.
What about you, Lawrence?
For me, it's Jahmyr Gibbs. If the Lions was watching what the Packers was able to do versus the Niners in the run game last week with the better line, make this the game where you give Jahmyr Gibbs 20 touches. Only 4 games this season with Montgomery has he had 15 or more touches. That long run that Aaron Jones had that he didn't score, that's a house call for Jahmyr Gibbs. Every time he has the ball, he's got a chance to go. So I like Gibbs in the matchup.
I do as look. I agree with you on Gibbs. I'll also just say I think Brock Purdy at $6,400. Like, this may come up in our last segment as well, just as a little hint here, but just a little foreshadowing here. But just again, the Lions have given up over 300 yards passing in five straight games, including to Baker Mayfield last week, including to Nick Mullins twice in the last five games as well. Just the secondary is bad, and I get people are going to be nervous about no Debo, but you think about how good the Lions run defense is, and so they're very much a pass funnel offense. And I just think because Purdy looked so bad last week and no Debo, people will be off of him. And I think it's an interesting, again, because the weather will be perfect here. And he's been fine. The non-Debo games earlier were without Trent Williams, which I actually think was a bigger concern than it was no Debo Samuel. So the fact he'll have Trent Williams and he'll have perfect weather in a game script that should favor 49ers. And I think they won't be able to run nearly as effectively against them as they will be able to throw. So I like Brock Purdy there and, you know, Kittle and Ayuk as part of the passing attack. If Debo isn't out, Juwan Jennings becomes pretty interesting too.
Yep. I would be shocked if Purdy plays poorly in this game, just with the conditions, with the matchup. I think his moment of truth will come in the Super Bowl, and then we'll truly learn what he's made of.
All right, we're taking our first break. When we're back, who's eating good? Of course, served by Applebee's. Our top Super Bowl MVP picks right after this.
Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at DiscountTire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
So let's take a look at the Super Bowl MVP odds right now. Lamar Jackson is the leader here at plus 220. Brock Purdy at plus 330. Then Christian McCaffrey at plus 350. Patrick Mahomes at plus 380. Before we get into a couple of players that are way down the board there. Lawrence, let's start here with your guy, Lamar Jackson. Of course, no bigger supporter, I think, preseason than you had for Lamar. Now you took him number one, I believe, in our fantasy league. What do you think about those odds going into...
How'd you finish in our fantasy league, by the way?
It wasn't because of Lamar.
It wasn't because of Lamar.
Well, Lamar wasn't great early on. He could have helped you early.
He was better NFL-wise than he was fantasy-wise.
Give me the number one pick again in our league, and I'm taking him again.
Yep. There you go.
Let me get that.
But so is he your Super Bowl MVP right now?
Yes, definitely. And I think that 220 is still a good number, especially since how we just talked about the game. Just he's on the better team. I think he'll be the better quarterback that particular game. So to get him at plus 220 when you got the two guys from the 49ers at plus 330 and plus 350, he's going to win the MVP. The last, what, 7 or 8 weeks, he's been the best player in football, and is still at plus 220. I think that's a good number.
70 or more rushing yards in three of the past five games. 45% of his rushes in the divisional round went for 10 or more yards as well. And so really, this is one of those simple sort of, you know, kind of betting things, Jay. But, like, if you think the Ravens, what are the odds? Because y'all bet you'll know this off the top of your head. I haven't had a chance to – I've downloaded Bet the Edge, but I haven't listened to it yet today. It's just in my queue for the drive home. I slept in, sorry, this morning. But I feel like if you think the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl, aren't you better off just betting Lamar Jackson to win MVP?
Yeah, so I would argue that there is no player in NFL history more likely to win Super Bowl MVP on their own team than Lamar Jackson on this Ravens team. Who else is going to win? Well, Zay Flowers is going to win Super Bowl MVP?
The guy
Zay Flowers would have to have the type of game that he's not had yet.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is, like, even if Zay Flowers gets 140 receiving yards, Lamar Jackson's still going to run. Like, he's still going to get the rushing yards. It would take, like, Kyle Hamilton having, like, three picks for Lamar Jackson not to
touchdown.
Because the thing is, like, they have to win the game. And if they win the game, Lamar Jackson has to do something, and he's Lamar Jackson. And the market is saying right now he's a 90% chance to win MVP if the Ravens win the Super Bowl. I think it's more like 95. Like, honestly, like, I just can't really construct ways that he would lose. So I would prefer to bet Lamar at plus 220 than the Ravens at plus 190.
Exactly. I mean, like, I think about, and by the way, it's also, it's a quarterback-driven award. I go back to when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl a couple of years. Damian Williams should have been, should have absolutely been the MVP. Yep. He made unbelievable runs. He scores the touchdown. That, he should have been the MVP. They still gave it to Mahomes because he's Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
And he really just, you know, he made a couple of big plays, but Mahomes did not play great that entire Super Bowl.
Yep.
It was Damian Williams that carried the team, and yet, so my point is that even a mediocre to decent game from Lamar.
Yep.
If the Ravens win the Super Bowl, Lamar Jackson's your MVP. Better odds.
Yep.
All right, our second player here, Brock Purdy, who is the runner-up on this board at plus 330. Matthew, you seem excited about that one for Brock Purdy, who's got a good matchup for himself against Detroit this week.
He's got a really good matchup for himself, and that's the other thing, too, is it's like you like the matchup. Look, his passer rating in four of the past five games has been over 122, right? Bad day at the office last week against the Packers, except for that final drive. But again, very, very wet. He's playing with a glove, without the glove as well. But this should be a get-right game on Sunday. Perfect weather. Again, as we talked about last segment, tough team to run against, very easy team to throw against as well. Perfect weather. He'll get credit for the fact that he'll have a good game without Deebo Samuel as well. And then whether he faces the Ravens or the Chiefs, both really good defenses, the 49ers don't win the Super Bowl unless Brock Purdy plays well against either one of those defenses.
Yeah. So there's two quick things. One, Brock Purdy has a little bit of a stench on him at the moment. Like, if the Niners win the Super Bowl, that goes away. So forget about that. And then secondly, he's 100% chance to play either Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. You think the Niners are going to beat those guys without Brock Purdy playing well? Like, he's the quarterback. The market right now is saying he's a 55% chance to win MVP if the Niners win the Super Bowl, and that Jared Goff is like an 85% chance if the Lions win the Super Bowl. Like, it's completely wrong. Like, he's the quarterback. He was minus 250 to win MVP with 3 weeks left in the season. He will have to play well, and I think that he will get the credit.
And to your point, he'll not only have to play well, he will have to outduel either Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, Lawrence.
I think Christian McCaffrey could rip off some, and he'll end up MVP. Like, if you look at the game against the Packers, right, and let's pretend that was the Super Bowl, we probably would have gave it to Christian McCaffrey.
I think we give it to Dre Greenlaw. Honestly,
he would have been in play too. That Brock Purdy and CMC, their odds are too, they're just too similar for me to not want to take it on a guy who could score 2 to 3 touchdowns in a game.
We are guaranteed good weather or climate control for
that's
the Super
the other
Bowl,
thing.
And
no,
that's the difference.
Slippery hands for Brock, which is
that's
a
big deal. Yep. All right, our final one here, the long shot on the board, Jay. How about Isaiah Pacheco at plus 9,000? He's been hot lately, 110 scrimmage yards in three of his past five games.
Yep. So the math here is basically, if you think there is a 5% chance that Pacheco would win MVP in a Chiefs Super Bowl win, then he's a good bet, or he's 90-1. And I think just with the way that this offense has struggled in the passing game, and the fact that the Niners are the most likely opponent for the Chiefs, and the Niners have really struggled in run defense. Look at what Aaron Jones did to them last week. I think Pacheco at 90-1 is worth a flyer. I'd rather be betting him than Mahomes at plus 380, given that's basically their Super Bowl price exactly.
I would agree with that as well. I mean, look, and the other thing is that, again, like, when they get in close, like, there's a reason why he's a long shot, but this is somebody who's had, to your point, 7 scrimmage touchdowns in his last 6 games. Like, there's a scenario where Isaiah Pacheco has a multiple touchdown game in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
You know, like, again, that they just try to run the ball, that Mahomes is under pressure, and that they feel like the best chance of them beating San Francisco is, we're going to play good defense, we're going to run the ball, we're going to control the clock. And so Pacheco, who runs angry,
yes, he
runs,
does.
You know,
stomps.
Runs like he bites people.
Drives
like,
angry.
You know, like,
he, you know, he stomps.
Yeah.
And then Rico Dowdle.
Yeah, I know.
They're the two stompiest runners in the NFL.
Stompiest.
I love it. It's great. That. Draft season is here, and we've got you covered. Check out my latest film breakdown with Noah Eagle as we go through 5 of the most underrated prospects in the Big Ten in this year's NFL draft. Up now on NBC Sports YouTube channel. We're going to break one more break. When we're back, it's last
not
call.
Cool. Not cool of Steven to make you read your own promo.
Yeah, it's tough out here.
A film breakdown with Connor Rogers. Go check it out, you animals.
Just trying to keep the lights on around here.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
I know how to run a hair salon, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. She's a small business owner too, so she knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this playoffs, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code BERRY when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook,
the crown is yours.
I got in at the
you
end.
You did. Finally, I was watching finally. You, Lawrence. I was finally. Making sure.
Like Brock Purdy, just coming for the final drive.
That's right, but a key component. It is time for last call. Let's take a look at the most bet player props going into conference championship weekend. Lamar Jackson at the top of the board, rushing yards over 64.5. That's a minus 140 now. Patrick Mahomes passing touchdowns over 1.5. Lamar Jackson passing touchdowns over 1.5 plus 140. CMC rushing attempts under 20.5. Jared Goff passing touchdowns over 1.5. Jay, what are you looking at on the board this weekend?
Yes, a lot of big names there. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Christian McCaffrey. So give me Josh Reynolds over 35.5 receiving yards. He's quietly emerged as their wide receiver too. He played 86% of the snaps against the Rams, 78% last week, and they were just in a run script, so they didn't have to target him too much. But in the game where they're 7.5-point dogs, perfect conditions, think that Goff will need to be throwing, and Josh Reynolds just as a wide receiver too in a must, obviously a must-win matchup. 35.5 is too low for me.
Matthew, what about you?
So I'm going with two bets for San Francisco. Again, we already talked about this earlier, Brock Purdy. I actually like him at an alt line, 300 passing yards at plus 160, I should say. Remember, again, the Lions have given up over 300 passing yards in five straight games, including to Nick Mullins twice and Baker Mayfield. Perfect weather as well. So I think Purdy, in a game in which they'll struggle to run, but they should be able to throw, give me Brock Purdy over 300 yards on an alt line at plus 160. And I also like the over on George Kittle's receiving yards at 61.5. So Kittle's been over this number in like four of the past six games. And in games over the last 2 years in which Deebo Samuel hasn't played, he's got a 30% target share as well. Lions really struggle against the tight end. Kate Otten had a huge game last week against the Lions as well. So I think Kittle, who should get extra attention, I'm not expecting Deebo to play, or if he does, he'll be less than 100%. Give me the over on Kittle at 61.5.
Lawrence?
Yeah, like that. Give me alt line for Lamar Jackson's 70 rushing. Yeah, shocker. I mean, besides obvious reasons, the Chiefs, Willie Gay, who was spying Josh Allen, he's a little banged up. And even when he wasn't, he couldn't stop Josh Allen. So you damn sure going to have problems with Lamar and that. So I mean, you know me, I'm always the plus money. So give me that plus 105.
There it is. I'm thinking the same thing as you. Quarterbacks running in this game. Mahomes over 26.5 rushing yards. He only had 19 last weekend, but 41 rushing yards against the Dolphins. And the most important thing is he's going to look to run in this game. You need everything's on the line in this game. Yeah. It's a great defense. One thing you can capitalize on is maybe picking up some free first downs with your
Indeed.
Legs.
Yep. He's just never on the field against the Bills, which is the crazy thing. Yeah. They average 7.7 yards per play, but he's never had the ball because the Bills are running so effectively.
That's the only concern there with that bet, is that I think the Ravens will run effectively in this one as well. But to your point, they'll get after the quarterback, and, you know,
he's got to run for his life.
He's got to run for his life.
About it.
There's no question about it. All right, well, Lawrence, welcome back. Good to see you. Don't know what you've been doing. We're back on Monday after the divisional round playoffs as well. Listen, it's closing time, which means you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. So we'll see you back on Monday for a very happy Penn State, Blake, Lawrence, Jay, and Connor. I'm Matthew Berry. We'll see you on Monday. Peace out.
I know how to run a hair salon, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. She's a small business owner too, so she knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.